All right, shall we start with a mantra?
Yes.
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we are at the beginning of the second part of the second half, yes? The second chapter of the second half. We finished last time the first chapter of the second half, and we are moving into the middle chapter, which will be only one chapter more will be after that, and the Katha Upanishad will be finished. So it's Yama who speaks. He continues explaining to him the most profound question about death and beyond death. Puram ekadasha dvaram ajasya avakrachetasah anushthaya nashochati vimuktascha vimuchyate etadvaitat. So Yama says, the unborn who is not devious minded has a city with 11 gates. When he takes up his abode in it, he grieves not. But when he is set free from it, that is his deliverance. This is that thou seekest. Now we have a description of the Puram, of the city, citadel, of the fortress in which we are all dwelling. It's our dwelling place. Puram is this city in which we dwell. The idea of Deha and Dehin from the Gita, the dwelling place and the dweller within that house. Our body, mind and vital is our house, and there is somebody there dwelling. So it is called Pura with 11 doors looking outside. These are all our senses which are looking, which are turned outside. Our eyes, ears, nostrils, and all these, our relations with the world. So all these holes, so to say, or doors, are relating us somehow to outside. We never thought about it. It's such a simple thought. But it is a very meaningful thought. If you see all these doors, they are exactly those indriyas. And only through them we have our actions. I mean, our perceptions of the world and our actions with the world. Some exchange is happening through these doors. Of course, we have hands to push things, legs to run around and so on. These are karmendriyas. But indriyas of sight, hearing, taste, smell, even procreatory part and all other functions are there to have an exchange with the world. Devious, avakra chetasah, whose chetas, whose mind is not vakra, twisted.
His mind
is not devious minded.
Devious person is not trustworthy. Politicians are devious.
What does that mean?
Yes, who is not deviating with his mind from the topic. Devious most probably kind of slippery with the mind, yeah, all the time. Never stays with the topic.
Not trustworthy.
Not trustworthy, yes.
Because you're saying one of the things wonderfully and you try to convince you, but it's devious.
So this ajasya, of this one who is not born, avakrachetasas, whose consciousness is not twisted, there is a house, or there is the city, citadel, with 11 doors looking outside. Anushthaya na shochati, he is, so to say, grieves not, yes, na shochati. He takes up his abode in it, in this citadel he lives, and he is not grieving for anything. Vimuktascha vimuchyate, and he is free, and he is becoming free all the time. It's interesting that I have to underline these statements because they are logically not clear why vimuktascha vimuchyate has to be said twice. But when he is set free from it, that is his deliverance, Sri Aurobindo puts it in this way. But literally what is said, vimuktaha, he is free and he is becoming free all the time. So it means that he is free by his own nature, and because he is free by his own nature in becoming of things outside through this door, these 11 doors in his citadel, he is always becoming free. Does it make sense? Yes, there are two types of freedom. You're absolutely right. One is in his own nature he is free, and other is in this becoming he is becoming free. And that is something of that Vedic vision, which later disappears. That second part, vimuchya, there is not there. Hansa, shuchi shad, vasu, antariksha sad, hota, Vedishad, Atithir, Duronasad, Nrishad, Varasad, Ritasad, Vyomasad, Abja, Goja, Ritaja, Adrija, Ritam, Rehat. Just look at this statement. It's a profound. Hamsa, he is Hamsa, he is the swan. Shuchishad. Okay, I will read first Sri Aurobindo. Lo, the swan whose dwelling is in the purity, Shuchishad. He is the vasu, in the inter-regions, antarikshasad. The sacrificer at the altar, Vedishad. The guest in the vessel of the drinking, Atithir Duronasad. He is in man and in the great ones, Nrishad, Varasad, and his home is in the law, Ritasad. You see, Sri Aurobindo still translates in that old manner, Rita as law. And his dwelling is in the firmament, Vyomasad. He is all that is born of water, Abja, and all that is born of earth, Adrija most probably, yes? And all that is born of mantris, Adrija, and Ritaja, Rita he takes Goja as earth. He is the truth and he is the mighty one. I would doubt that Sri Aurobindo would translate it later in this manner, yes? This?
Much freer.
Ah, okay.
This is to this.
I didn't know that. It would be nice to compare. Now we have definitions of this one who lives in this fortress, and it is Hamsa. He is the swan, Shuchishad, living in Shuchi, in the brightness, or in the light, or in the flame. He's seated in the flame. Vasu. Vasu is from root vas. Sri Aurobindo later translates him as luminous dweller within the substance. Dweller within the substance. He lives within the body. He is the dweller within the dwelling. Antariksha Sat. He dwells in Antariksha, which separates heaven and earth, in the air. Hota, he is the summoner of the gods. Vedishad, he is seated in Vedi, in the altar. Atithi, the guest of our dwelling. Durona Sat, sitting in our house. Durona is the house which has doors. Nrishat, he is seated in Nri, in the souls. Varasat, in the best ones. Ritasat, in the Rita, in this dynamic truth he is seated. Vyomasat, he is seated in the transcendental heaven. Abja, in the waters he is born. Goja, in the light he is born. Ritaja, in the dynamic truth he is born. Adrija, he is born in the rock. In the material inconscient he is born. Ritam Brihat, he is the truth in the vast.
What is
Nitya Bandhu
in Sanskrit?
Adrija.
Adrija.
Ja born Adri, rock. This is that Adri, that infinite rock, from which Soma has to be extracted in the Veda. It is that infinite rock where, by digging into which, Sri Aurobindo discovered light there in the depth of inconscient. So he is born there. He has no limits. This swan, this beautiful Hans. Could be. This spring out of the rock. You know.
There are several stories.
And we have Pegasus in a Greek mythology.
For this moment, the water comes out of the rocks.
Breaking the rock with a hoof. Urdhvam pranam unnayati apanam pratyak asyati madhye vamanam asinam vishve deva upasate. This is he that draws the main breath upward and casts the lower breath downward. The dwarf that sits in the center, to him all the gods do homage. Yes, Vamana. Vamana Purusha, who is seated in the heart, Angushta Matra, with the size of the thumb. It is that who lives, who is dwarf, because he is within the heart, small Purusha. But this small Purusha in the Veda makes three steps and covers all heaven and earth and everything else. Yes? So he grows. That's what in Sri Aurobindo's yoga known to us as spiritual transformation, where psychic enlarges itself and becomes the whole universe. That small being in the heart suddenly enlarges itself and becomes the universe without losing its own individuality, individual perception. So that is him. He is drawing the breath upward and casts the lower breath, the breathing out, apanam, downward. There are two breaths, you know, yes? Breathing in and out. We are constantly doing it all our life.
Sri Aurobindo breathing 6 hours, in the beginning of time,
Yes, he was doing actively pranayama, by the way.
I put in the news about pranayama, Mother Taylor, what he do with the Sri Aurobindo.
Yeah. And he was commenting on it many times. In the letters of yoga you can read what he says on pranayama. that it is a very special technique, very powerful and dangerous at the same time. Because if you don't have a guidance, you can have problems. You don't know how to hold, how to control breath. But if you know how to do it, the whole pranayama section in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali is there after asana. Once asanas are mastered to a certain extent, you can start pranayama, which will lead you to certain control over vital senses and energies. And then you can do next step, which is called pratyahara. You can withdraw your senses to yourself. But before you control them, at least a little bit, you can't withdraw them. As kurma draws back the limbs, the head and the feet in, the same way Krishna says you have to withdraw your senses from the object of sense. The horses have to be completely controlled in this chariot. It burns all these kind of
things.
And it cleans up, if you can come to that level. If you can't come to that level, it is just kind of good. Yeah? It doesn't do much. But if you come to the level where you start burning, when the fire burns in your body and vyana travels and you start sweating and you and trembling and jumping, and then it's like a purification by fire. And then you come out and you're like a child. You feel the another perception. It's a very powerful technique.
Yeah. So there's a difference between withdrawing the senses this way, having purified them by the pranayama, and just withdrawing
Nothing is said. Nothing is said here about this. We are just adding to it.
Yeah.
There is no one word about pranayama, but about two pranas. Prana and apana, breathing in and breathing out. And these are two major pranas, yes? Because there are five major, but these two are major called here.
Maybe here it's just emphasizing this in the human system, in the body, in the life energy.
Right.
In the presence.
Right. And with one prana he draws into manifestation, and with other he draws to the spirit. It's as if breathing in and out, drawing down and drawing up, constantly going up and down, and between this up and down there is somebody sustains his being. It's a beautiful image. You can start to be conscious. It's suggested even that you breathe in and out consciously. If you have, for example, these are the recommendations which were given by yogis and Vivekananda, especially on pranayama. When, for example, you are under attack, psychological attack, somebody attacks you psychologically, what you do is very simple. You just concentrate on your breath. You be conscious how you breathe in and breathe out, conscious. Don't deviate from this concentration. And you will see what happens. It will be boop, it will disappear. It's a very powerful technique. But we hardly remember it. When we are under attack, we react and so on. So maybe because of that behind these two there is him, yes, somewhere, if you breathe in and out, you will have to get the perception of him somehow. And because we get his perception, we can be protected from this attack. Asya Visrama. One second. Yes. Sram samanasya. Asya visram samanasya sharirasthasya dehinah dehad vimuchyamanasya kim atra parishishyate etat vaitat. When this encased spirit that is in the body falls away from it, when he is freed from its casing, what is there then that remains? This is that thou seekest. It is when he is withdrawn from this case in which he is cased, it's a box in which we are boxed, and what is there then that remains? It's the question which Vivekananda brought into this his speech in Chicago, when he said that Christians, when they say you die, they say you breathe out the spirit, and when Hindus say, they say they leave the body. So it depends with whom you are, either with the body which is breathing out the spirit, or you are going, leaving the body. So this is the question here, of the same kind. What is there left? What is there that which remains?
But it says after the spirit has gone, then there
yes.
is that. But I thought this was the spirit itself, which has left the case.
Yes. The only thing what I would object to this is etadvaitat. Etadvaitat here is, I think, a refrain. You see, it's not everywhere. Sometimes it appears, sometimes disappears. And by tradition, it was put everywhere. And I think it is an additional thing of later time, because it breaks the rhythm in some way, but it was very beautiful to have it there. That is indeed that, yes? You can say everywhere, that is indeed that you seekest. But here, look at this. Asya visram samanasya sharirasya sharirasthasya dehinah dehat vimuchyamanasya kimatra parishishyate. When he leaves the body, what is here left to be known? It is not that what you seekest. It is that what you are not seekest. What is here left? Yes. Nothing is left here, because the spirit has left.
But it says he seeks that. This is that thou seekest.
Yes, but because it's a refrain, it is in a wider sense you can take it. Yes? You are seekest the secret of death. You want to know what it is.
So he means like in general.
Yes. No, he is not seeking the secret of dead body. But maybe also in some way. What is that? You never know.
This is irrelevant to you, but on the Samadhi, there is written on one side English, one side French. I guess it's the mother who wrote it there. A thank you from the spirit to the body that has done its job while we're here on earth. And so that's what's in the Samadhi.
Thank you for your nice remark. That we can think in those terms also.
I thought that was dedicated to Sri Aurobindo.
Yes.
Yeah, his body. The material envelope of his body.
What was charged as a spirit.
The material envelope.
Yes, what we know as Sri Aurobindo, yes? This incarnation. Because it becomes identical as a spirit. When spirit is there, it is that. But when spirit goes, what is that?
Yeah.
left there.
And I interpret it just as the body in general there. And you say the pure living.
What is then when they bring the lids from Shiva to other places? I mean, that is here, because of the consciousness is in this matter, no? And this matter was able to carry such a consciousness, which was advanced.
Well, Sri Aurobindo's matter was a bit different altogether than that. Though in India this tradition is very strong, and you can see that on Indian land, all these people who are coming from other ashrams, they come to visit Sri Aurobindo's samadhi, and they do the same. They charge themselves for this presence. It's not prohibited to do it. You can go everywhere, whoever made this effort of consciousness. I want to review this religious attitude into something very advanced. And I see in this that Hindus can go from one samadhi to another, from one teacher to another religion. They don't mind going to Mahavira and bowing down, or to Jesus, and you know, as Vivekananda said, with his heart he would, you know, with his blood of his heart he would wash his feet. So nobody minds this, nobody has anything of the of this kind of sectarianism which later comes and which was imposed on Indian thinking by Western thinking and fixed here strongly in order to blame them and to rule over them. It's all the time going on, this kind of imposition of one thinking on another, which I find very strange. And I would like to protect Hinduism from this, in a sense that it was original tolerating and understanding this concentration of consciousness so much that there were no differences. The book on Hinduism, Russian book, written by academician Gusiva, starts with this observation. And when they were carrying Mahavira and all the people came out and they said, "Oh, namaste Bhagavan, Bhagavate namo namaha." And she heard with her students and she said, "How? Why you say Bhagavan? This is Mahavira, it's Jaina. Why you say this is..." And they are from Hindus. And they were so surprised to hear this question. They never occurred to them that that is a question. So that is a surprise of those who come to India and find this not only tolerance but respect for this kind of spiritual endeavor and spiritual realization in general.
You also reference to Thackeray. I have the same.
This is a rational mind which has this problem, very big problem, because how come? You mix everything up. What would you find? It's rational mind cannot find anything and mixes everything up. But if you have another mind, which is higher, more luminous, it doesn't mix anything up. It sees clearly that this is Mahavira. But it doesn't emphasize that, doesn't make it a priority. And that is something of India, which has to be discussed maybe.
Scripts had been never written down by which person this was
written. Right. Was the spirit, was it? We don't know. Yama wrote, Yama, the god of death, wrote this Katha Upanishad. How come? Well, how many Kalidasas? If they started, you know how many works of Kalidasa are available? I don't know how many. Thousands. They are all signed by Kalidasa. And they say that there are maybe 15 altogether, original works.
The same about the Vedas.
Yeah. People don't mind signing with this name because this name associates with some finding, with some realization of the spirit. Kalidasa is fine for me. I don't need to exist. Today I was thinking about it again, that in the light of Sri Aurobindo's findings, all those followers of Sri Aurobindo, they are minor findings. It is because of him that we found the knowledge. So we do not exist in this light. we are part of his finding. I was thinking about those great people, Nolini, you know, all those great spiritual seekers. Why they didn't shine in that particular way. They were under this umbrella of Sri Aurobindo. And I think about all others who are following. They will never shine. If they are honest, they will always refer to this light. So it's something of that sense. Kalidasa is good for us. So we can sign under him or under Sri Aurobindo. Poor Sri Aurobindo, if everybody will start writing with his name. But this is the spirit of India. Yes? It's a bit different from the West with copyrights. Where Ken Wilber put copyright even on integral psychology. The word integral psychology cannot be used unless it refers to his thinking. He put even copyright on his own name. Nobody can be called Ken Wilber in this world. So this is a little bit extreme. It's another way of thinking. Na pranena, na panena martyo jivati kashchana itarena tu jivanti yasmin etau upasritau. Man that is mortal lives not by the breath, no, nor by the lower breath, but by something else we live in which both these have their being. Now again these two are compared, that they are a part of a manifestation of that soul, as if vital being is a part of manifestation of the soul. He doesn't live by prana, doesn't live by apana, but by something else we live, in which both these have their being. It is something else which gives us life, not breathing in and breathing out. It is not the breath which gives us life. Life is independent, huh?
Something else? What is the respective Sanskrit term?
Itarena tu jivanti. By other. By something else. It's literally by something else, indeed, they live, in which these two are established.
What is something else?
Life.
Life.
Jiva. They do not say by what. Before they explained that this is the soul. The soul gives life to the breathing in and breathing out. And we mistaken it for thinking that it is by breathing in and out we live. It is when the soul decides to leave, we stop breathing. And nothing you can do about it. When the soul decides to leave the body, we stop breathing. But we also can do this and force the soul to go. But it is not because of breathing that we live, but because of soul being present there. Hantata idam pravakshyami guhyam brahma sanatanam yathacha maranam prapya atma bhavati gautama. Surely, O Gautama, I will tell thee of this secret and eternal Brahman, and likewise what becomes of the soul when one dies. Now Sri Aurobindo translates atma as the soul here. It depends how you translate. It can be translated differently. Guhyam Brahma Sanatanam, Guhyam Brahma Sanatanam. Not secret, but Brahma which is hidden, which is secret Brahman, eternal. About that I will tell you. Yathacha Maranam Prapya Atma Bhavati Gautama. So there is a kind of Atma and Brahma are spoken in different terms. I will tell you about Brahma, the spirit, the eternal, and I will tell you about the self which leaves the body. It's kind of interesting.
What exactly was Gautama mean?
Gautama is his name. His name, Nachiketas. Gautama is full, well, it's from Gautama. Gautama Rahuganaha, the Rishi from the Veda. Gautama is very common name. It's most of the cow. Since Go is translated as light, most of light of knowledge. This is the of the light of knowledge. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehinah sthanum anye nusamyanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. It's for those who study Sanskrit. It's a very common avyayi bhava. Avyayi bhava composita yatha karma yatha shrutam. You can make with any word accordingly, according with knowledge, according with what was heard or what is to be done, yatha karma. For some, enter a womb to the embodying of the spirit, and others follow after the immovable. According to their deeds is their goal, and after the measure of their revealed knowledge. Does it make sense to you? A little bit difficult English, yeah? For some people, enter a womb to the embodying of the spirit, and others follow after immovable. According to their deeds is their goal, and after the measure of their revealed knowledge. How much knowledge was revealed to them, that counts in this journey. What was real in their knowledge? Not every knowledge, but those revelations. Yatha shrutam. Yoni manye prapadyante. They enter into yoni. They are born in the body. The soul is finding the glimpse of light and jumps into that glimpse and being born as child. Sharira tvaya dehinah. Towards sharira. Towards sharira tvaya. Towards the bodiness. Dehinah. Dehinah are those who dwellers in the deha. The dwellers move towards the bodiness and fall into yoni, into the womb, where there is a light which is showing that there is a good time for the soul, that the conditions are suitable to be embodied. They jump into that womb from up somewhere and find their embodiment. Sthanum anye nusamyanti, and others follow to sthanum, to something which is steady, immobile, immovable. Yatha karma, yatha shrutam. According to that what they have to do, and according to that what they know. Exactly. And there are many souls which are not jumping into, they are staying and they are doing many other things. Vivekananda was one of those souls who had nothing to accomplish here. It was an in. Yes, because he had something to accomplish, yatha karma. But he, otherwise he doesn't need to come, Vivekananda. No, I am not saying he was born, but he didn't have to be born. For many, many times, he did his work without being born. He came to Sri Aurobindo's, visit Sri Aurobindo in Alipur jail. He spoke to him. He was already not there, not in the body. He did his work, but he was not jumping into yoni. He was not getting body. He was not moving towards Shariratvaya. Towards the bodiness. Yes, he was in his subtle body. He came down to Sri Aurobindo and he spoke to him. So there are two types of souls, yes? Some are moving towards the embodiment of the body, and some are doing something else. Sthanumanyanu samyanti.
Jesus mean only the avatars, or maybe
I think there can be any kind of beings, not only even human beings. There are many other gods, Gandharvas, Apsarasas, all kinds of Buddhas who are not taking body, but they are participating in some way in creation. Thousands of them, billions of them. Who is maintaining all this universe? Just look how marvelous it is and huge.
That's so,
so much work.
Inviting of the spirit seems like a very high level of karma, and following after the immovable, like I translate it in Ramana, they both seem like they're the same. I don't quite understand.
No, it's about Dehina, it's about the souls.
Yeah.
And souls may follow in any direction. They can choose where to go and what to do, according to their work to do and according to their knowledge.
Yeah, well.
It makes sense, even logically, even if you don't go farther than that.
That means then, I suppose, that any soul has this choice, one is not incarnated?
But according to karma and according to knowledge, yes. That's much we know. But according to karma, what it means that what you have to do, you do. That's why you are here. And according to knowledge, that's why you are in Aurobindo. You're seeking for some knowledge. That's why we are here, I guess. No? Our souls decided to come. Soul pushes us. Soul decides. Of course, for her it is voluntary, or for it, rather, in English. But for us, we do not know. Ya esha subteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimanah tad eva shukram tad brahma tad evamritam uchyate tasmin lokah shritah sarve tadu natyeti kashchana etat vaitat. This that wakes in the sleepers, creating desire upon desire, this Purusha, him they call the Bright One, him Brahman, him immortality. And in him are all the worlds established. None goes beyond him. This is that thou seekest. Ya esha supteshu jagarti, the one who is awakened in those who sleep. This is the literal translation. The one who is awakened in those who sleep, kamam kamam nirvimana. Yes. Purusha creates desire after desire. Every desire Purusha himself creates in ones who sleep, and he is not sleeping. It's still Vedic perception of kama, which later in yogic perception would be prohibited. Because kama doesn't have yet that completely negative connotation. It is a psychological happening. Yeah? Kama is it's a desire for anything, life, joy, enjoyment, realization, knowledge, which is restricted by time and space, that we cannot see the whole picture, but we want to break through and to get to that what we want to get, and we do not know why we want that. There are many reasons why we want that or this. There can be wrong reasons, but main reason is that the soul seeks realization, who seeks certain experience. And that's what is here being said, that Purusha creates all those karmas, sleepless in the sleeping ones. Because we are sleeping, we do not see. For us it appears as karma, as a desire. But for him it's a movement to push us towards. That's what Sri Aurobindo says when he comes from Alipur jail, and he tells this beautiful story how Krishna revealed to him the meaning of how everybody does his work. He says, everyone, even those who are fighting against me, are doing my work. And he explains how. And that is interesting. He says that on the way people think that they go for their own desires. That I have an aim. I want to become a millionaire. My aim is to become a millionaire. I do everything for that. But on the way to become millionaire, I will do all possible works which Krishna wants me to do. All possible obstacles I will overcome. I will think that I am going for my desire to be realized. But it is not true. At the end, whether I become millionaire or not, it's a question. It doesn't matter even. Matters that on the way I did all those interactions which Krishna made me do. There is a higher consciousness which operates according to that movement or that intention and puts you accordingly to his plan. That's what he says to Arjuna. Even if you leave this battlefield and go and say, I don't fight. He says, I will fight and I will win the battle. Without you or with you. Doesn't matter. But then you will be in a different position. They will blame you. They will say that you are weak. They will put you down. They will destroy you. Your fame of Kshatriya and so on and so forth. I gain my case anyhow. Whether you join or not. Look at this will. All these karmas which are coming up, they are generated by Purusha. But we perceive them as karmas. But these are intentions of the soul, hidden, unknown to us.
I remember one story very interesting, that one student agreed to be locked for 3 years for some million dollars or whatever, and after 3 years being only with the books in his place, he refused the money. Because
he refused the money.
Those books that he became a different person. When he went out, he was free already, being locked. So this is also the karma, the desire which hooked the person for the money, but he received completely.
Exactly. The karma is distorted in this outer being where we do not see that pure intention. So there that distortion comes. But that distortion has to be seen where the truth of it, of the intention comes from. And it comes from the divine.
Often you can see it founded, at least in retrospect. You think, oh, I wanted to do that and it came differently. And for that reason, this reason, it was not good enough the way it turned out.
I think also in this one is such a beauty and humor in it, and a face in the divine, because whatever the steps are, you grow with this.
Exactly.
It's such a face that I can laugh always about him. This Christmas in it, the tricks come in. There's a very joy in it. It's just because when you can look at it, it's such I fall on my head, I have a concussion, and then the moment I get awake, what an joy and an
anandahead
in this process. And I completely
can be also. No, that's very true. It's very Vedic in a sense that in the Veda, both night and dawn, our darkened consciousness and our lightened consciousness feed the growth of consciousness of fire. So we can grow from our faults and from our failures and more than even from our successes. If we see that once, that glimpse, it's all one great joy to live.
I was just wondering,
measuring out, yes. Making them, kind of formulating, shaping them. That's why it's so important when children are choosing what they want to become. I want to become a musician or a doctor. There should be no influence, because that, when the soul knows, then it would be exactly that what is needed. But sometimes parents press too much and they want them to be the same. And every child wants to be a football player. It's tricky, yes. But it is in one point. I wanted to be a tuba player, you know, musician. When I was small, I saw this golden tuba. And I thought, wow, this is what I want to be. In the orchestra, to play this music. And then, after some years, when I studied 5 years as tuba, oh, that sounds terrible. Then I found a guitar. I wanted to be guitar player, but it was too late already to choose. Yes, sometimes it doesn't work always. So, Agnir yathai ko bhuvanam pravishto rupam rupam pratirupo bhuva ekastatha sarva bhutantaratma rupam rupam pratirupo bhaiścha. These are very famous shlokas. They are used with music of Sunil, very beautiful singing. Maybe you heard how it is. Agni. Even as one fire has entered into the world, but it shapes itself to the forms it meets, so there is one spirit within all creatures, but it shapes itself to form and form. It is likewise outside these. Now I will continue, because you will see Vayur yathai ko bhuvanam pravishto rupam rupam pratirupo bhuva ekastatha sarva bhutantaratma rupam rupam pratirupo bhaiścha. Even as one air, vayu, the vital force, has entered into the world, but it shapes itself to the forms it meets, so there is one spirit within all creatures, but it shapes itself to form and form. It is likewise outside these. Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshuh nalipyate chakshusaih bahyadoshaih ekastatha sarvabhutantaratma nalipyate lokadukhena bahyah. Even as the sun is the eye of all this world, yet is not soiled by the outward blemishes of the visual, so there is one spirit within all creatures, but the sorrow of this world soils it not, for it is beyond grief and his danger.
His?
Yes, spirit. Oh, you can put its danger also. What is interesting here in these three shlokas, why I read them all together, because this is a Vedic version. Agni, Vayu and Surya, three essences of, essence of earth, of space between heaven and earth, and heaven. These three, when they are united in one consciousness, they fulfill the sacrifice. So on all these levels, there are different forms and formations. There are different formations in the physical, there are different forms and beings in the vital and in the mental. On all the levels of heaven, space in between heaven and earth.
It's like a kind of explanation of eight, remember, he says, karma after karma, and also all the worlds are established in him. It's almost an elaboration on it.
Yes, it's nearly that vision of dynamic truth in a ritualistic sense. You know that these three constitute the whole ritual, yes? Agni, Vayu and Surya. And union with these three is considered to be the aim of the sacrifice. Union with Agni, Vayu and Surya. Because these are three essences. So the whole dynamism of rhythm will be realized in this union. When the mind is united with the body and with our prana, when the heart, mind and body, heart, mind and will are united, then the aim of the sacrifice is realized.
Then the aim of the sacrifice is realized.
It is because of this division on these three that our will is not following our mind, and our heart and desire is not following our will. Nobody follows nobody here. That's, we have this particular, manifestation. Manifestation of the divine in time and space.
Okay. In the body also?
Yes, in the body also. It's a Vedic vision. Body is never left here. You will see in these Upanishads and in Rig Veda, body is always included. It's the outcome of the dynamic truth. It's the surface of that dynamism. But later it is revealed.
Yeah, but when only you follow the divine will?
Well, there is, as we know, there is only the divine. But it is distorted in us.
But not human will, divine will.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes. But since we understand that every human will is coming from the divine will.
Coming, but not.
Yes, but that is the point. That's the point.
It's evolution.
I'm sorry to throw another stone in there. Even the will of a 13-year-old Iraqi girl to walk through the midst of a bunch of innocent people, blow herself up and kill 20-some-odd people, that's also the will of the divine. It has to be, of course, but I don't understand. Oh, there was just a recent incident in Baghdad there where a 13-year-old girl was a suicide bomber.
Yes.
And there was the monk, a Buddhist monk, who burnt himself in the middle of the town, just put on himself.
This is sacrifice.
No.
It's a protest. And harakiri, the person offended, comes to his offender and in front of his door makes harakiri as a protest to his offense. Okay? Was there anything of the divine will in that? And was there divine will in the Second World War? In all those concentration camps? Actually, yes, your question, these are kind of ponderings which might be there to think about.
Yeah.
But Krishna was asked by The same question as you asked.
Yes.
Why did he do that massacre and destroyed everybody and everything? Mm. Because he destroyed all Kauravas and all Pandavas.
Yes.
Nobody was left.
Yes.
And you know what he answered?
Everything.
He said that my task was very difficult, and to maintain dharma in the world was impossible otherwise. Now, what is this dharma to be maintained in the world is another question. The divine has his own way and knows, because the divine is this man there dying, is the man who is bombing. And the man who is bombed, he is the same divine who takes all the pangs, all the pain on himself. It's not the divine which is there watching from the cloud in the night dress and this, you know. Eko vashi sarva bhutantaratma ekam rupam bahudha yah karoti tam atmastham yenu pashyanti dhirah tesham sukham shashvatim netaresham. One calm and controlling spirit within all creatures that makes one form into many fashions. The calm and strong who see him in their self as in a mirror. Theirs is eternal felicity, and 'tis not for others. Eko vashi, one vashi, master, sarva bhutantaratma, Atman, which lives in all beings, the same Lord who lives in all beings. Ekam rupam bahudha yah karoti, the one who makes one form in many different ways, who manifests oneness in many different bahudha, in many different shapes and forms. Tam atmastham, that one who is staying in the self. Yenu pashyanti dhirah, those who see him, the wise ones, tesham sukham, it is of those the happiness, shashvatam, eternal, netaresham, not of the others. The ones who see him alone, one, in every being, it is of them that sukham. So sukham, the enjoyment, or the real happiness, real ananda, is possible only when all this variety is observed and seen from the point of view of oneness. When oneness is achieved, then all this variety becomes joyful. Otherwise it becomes painful. So without the divine perception of oneness, all this variety is not enough. That's why when you have this glimpse of both, suddenly you get this joy. This is the glimpse of both, that you know that everything here, truly, you have certain perception, truly is of his, belongs to him. So because of that you have this sudden ananda. This is that sukham shashvatam, netaresham, not of the others. Nityo nityanam, Chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman tam atmastham yenu pashyanti dhirah tesham shanti shashvati netaresham. Now here it's an interesting thing. The one eternal in the transient, the one conscious in many conscious beings, who being one orders the desires of many, the calm and strong who behold him in their self as in a mirror, theirs is eternal peace, and it is not for others. But what is interesting here, the same way of thinking, that nityah anityanam. I have a book here, it's a critical edition by Bhandarkar Oriental Research Institute, and they question it because nityah nityanam, chetanah chetananam, why it is anityanam but chetanah chetananam makes no sense. The constant of the transient, the conscious of the conscious, not of the inconscient. So either are, it should not be read here, nityah nityanam, chetanah chetananam. That's what they are proposing. The constant of the constant, conscious of the conscious, but otherwise it makes no sense, according to this analysis. But I found interesting sense, if you leave it as such, the constant within those who are transient, but conscious within those who are conscious. Do you have this also perception, this Vedic perception? The constant in those who are transient, but who is conscious in those who are conscious in this transition.
Yes. It's just like one consciousness, a main conscious being.
Yes. Chetanah.
But how does someone Sanskrit say?
Chetanah chetanana. Yes, well, chetanam will be consciousness, and it is, if it is masculinum, then it would be that who is conscious usually. But nityah also again, you can always, in Sanskrit adjective can be always shifted into noun, it's very easy. Both can be there. What are...
Sorry, you have example of conscience?
No, what I'm saying is that the constant in the transient and conscious in the conscious, the one establishes these karmas of many. There must be meaning in this usage, that because this, he establishes, puts vidadhati kaman bahunam, of many. Of many, he brings the different desires. To many people, he brings different desires. The one who is constant in those transient ones, who is conscious in the conscious, not in the those who are not conscious. Because we started this text, you remember from the beginning, and there was a very similar thing about karmas. I don't remember where it is. I don't remember. I will not find it now. To be conscious in the enjoyment, because he is there and brings this, and this karma is his intention, but distorted by us because we are not conscious. But when we are conscious in this transition of his intention, then these karmas become something else. We can see them, we can tolerate them, and we can absorb them and not be led by them. It is the same statement which Krishna makes in the Gita, saying that the one liberated spirit is like the ocean to whom all the rivers fall. Rivers of karma fall into him and he is unmoved by them. He can see them, understand them, move them, but he is not moved by them. The same perception is here. Tadetat iti manyate anirdeshyam paramam sukham. Time. Katham nutad vijaniyam kim ubhati vibhati va. This is the end. This is he. is all they can realize of Him. A highest felicity which none can point to, nor any define it. How shall I know of Him, whether He shines or reflects one light or another? Katham mutad vijaniyam? How it that can be known? Kim ubhati? What is shining? Vibhativa? What is reflecting? How do we know? Because the light is the same. Kama comes. How do we know that this is divine desire or it is human desire? How would I know? No, he says. He asks. Katham no kim ubhati? What is shining and what is reflecting that light? What is distorting in the by reflection that light? Natatra surya bhati. There surya is not shining. Na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti. Kuto yamagnih. Tameva bhanta manubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. This is the answer. There the sun cannot shine and the moon has no lustre. All the stars are blind. There our lightnings flash not, neither any earthly fire. For all that is bright is but the shadow of His brightness. And by His shining all this shines. Now I will translate a little bit different. Natatra surya bhati. There surya is not shining. Na chandra tarakam. No moon, no stars. Neither moon nor stars. Nema vidyuto bhanti. These lightnings are not shining there. Kuto yamagnih. Where from is this Agni? I will leave this question. Because I want Agni to be there. And I think this is Vedic. Where this Agni is from? If these stars are not there, sun is not shining, nothing is there shining. But where from this Agni comes, which is shining there? This light of the divine. Tameva bhantam anubhati. It is Him shining. All this is shining after. Anubhanti. Shining after Him. Sarvam tasya bhasa. All by His light. Tasya bhasa. Sarvam idam vibhati. All this is reflecting but His light. Yes?
Can you translate the previous one from the Sanskrit? Because
yes?
The English, the beginning of the English seems a little...
Yes, it's a bit... Tadetat iti.
This is all... It doesn't make sense.
Yes. That's just like a direct speech. Tadetat iti. That is indeed. Iti manyante. Thus they think. Nirdeshyam paramam sukham. That highest felicity which cannot point to nor any define it. Nirdeshyam. Anirdeshyam. Which cannot be pointed. Which cannot be instructed. Which cannot be known or taught. Tadetat iti manyate. About that nirdeshyam paramam sukham, they think in those terms. Tadetat. That is this. You cannot say more than this. That is this. Yes, it's a revelation. It's in actual time.
This is He, is all they can realize of Him.
Okay. Yeah, no,
this is... Oh, it's in quotes.
Yes,
I mean, yes.
Okay. In their speech.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't notice that. This is He, is all they can realize.
Yeah, these quotes are not very visible. Yeah, that's why. So, shall we end with mantra?
Yes.
So, we... finished second chapter of the second part, and we have only one part left. Om Sah.
Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.